Corre, corre.
West Bank city of Jenin, there is a road that leads from the large Arabic coffee pot sculpture in the center of town, straight to Haifa. In the past, Jenin was one of the wealthiest cities in the West Bank. But now it is one of the poorest, and the road that leads to Haifa is virtually abandoned. Like so many cities, towns, and villages here, Jenin has been isolated economically as well as physically by the wall constructed by Israel, and residents from the wealthy port city of Haifa, now in Israel, no longer bring to Jenin their disposable income. At present, Haifa's major contribution to Jenin consists of refugees who have filled the camp that borders the city to its west. The Jenin refugee camp is currently an autonomous territory in Palestine. It is governed and policed not by the Palestinian Authority, but internally by the resistance. In 2002, the Israeli army occupied Jenin in an attempt to wipe out this resistance, resulting in what some call the Battle of Jenin, and what others call the Massacre of Jenin. A large portion of the camp was completely razed to the ground during this invasion. And it is this invasion that so colors the life in Jenin today. It was a new Nakba for the displaced descendants of 1948. Yet another generation has lost everything, and yet another generation will grow up in the chaos and aftermath of such a loss. This new generation is what concerns Abdullah Musa, director of the Torture Victim Center in Jenin.
طبعا الاطفال بعد المجزره اللي حصلت في مخيم جنين السلوك تغير كليا نحو الأسوأ طبعا حتى على مستوى اللعب هو عباره عن لعب جيش وعرب بسموه او لعب مسلحين ومطاردين
After the Jenin camp 2002 massacre, children's behavior has changed completely. Their play became violent. They play the game of soldiers and fighters or army and Arabs exactly like what they see.
السلوك العدواني وتطبيقه على الأخوان والجيران والأصحاب في المدارس مش كأي طفل آخر.
The victim often acquires the morals of the victimizer. So children acquire these morals and behavior from the Israeli soldiers, which then affects their relationships with their relatives, neighbors, friends, and classmates. So unlike children in other countries, they don't play fun games that are non-violent. The Palestinian children, and more specifically children from Jenin camp, have gone through a very tough experience. This affects them very badly, and also has an impact on their personalities. There are many cases of involuntary urination among children in the camp. Many children suffer from social phobia, as if some kind of aggressiveness, hatred and fear affected their behavior. This also makes the children behave in such a way as to seem much older than they really are, in order to cope with the environment around them. So Palestine, and especially the Jenin refugee camp, is childless, because the children did not live their childhood. The behavior of anyone in the world would be the same if subjected to similar conditions.
Ahlam Nua is 10 years old and lives in the Jenin camp. I talked with her after school with the help of one of her teachers, Mohaned Sarmoud, who translates.
So just hold it just like this.
Sure.
Just like this. What's your name?
My name Ahlam. Ahlam Nuh.
And what do you like to do for fun?
في المستقبل ولا حاليا
حاليا it's okay just like that
طيب شو تحب تعمليها
بحب اصير تيتشر معلمة
بحب اصير I would like to be teachers احكي بس عربي
عربي
why do you want to be a teacher
ليش بتحبي تكوني معلمة
عشان الشعب الفلسطيني كله يصير متعلم.
To be all the children in Palestine to be learning and be good.
And what do you like to do best here at the school?
شو أفضل إشي بتحبي تعملي في المدرسة؟
في المدرسة.
أي إشي شو الأشياء بتحبي تعملي في المدرسة؟
ندرس.
I would like to. Studies.
Study.
Yes. يلا خلص.
And what do you think of the teachers here?
شو الأشياء اللي بتشوفيها في الأساتذة اللي هون؟ شو كيف بيعاملوكم؟
هم زي أبواتنا وأمياتنا بعاملونا بكل محبة.
Just like ours. Mothers and fathers, and we love them. Mm-hmm. This teacher in the center.
Okay. And is there anything she would like to say?
في شيء تاني تحبي تحكي؟
عم تحكي عن خير الجنين شو حدث في من قبل الاحتلال الإسرائيلي.
I would like to say what the soldier make in the camp. Okay.
أحكي. الاحتلال الإسرائيلي أجا هدموا البيوت ما خلوش بيت واقف وقتلوا كتير من الشهداء وأسروا الكتير وما كفاهم مش هذا الإشي يلا بعدين نكمل
She say أحلام say that the soldier come to the camp and destroys our house and arrests many people and injured many people and not enough And they completed, destroy, and kill everything walk in the camp.
كمل. بعد يعني ما بعد ما خرجوا احتلال الإسرائيلي من المخيم هم ما خرجوا بعدهم بس بعد ما خفوا عن المخيم رجعنا للمخيم شفنا الجثث المرمية على الهدم. الناس يعني بطل في فراس عقل طبعاً.
When we return to our camps, we see the bodies in the houses. It was terrible and horrible things. We not believe. We like shock when we see this terrible things. The bodies, the blood, the heads, the arms everywhere, and we feel not safe.
I would
give you a message, she said, for your
country. احنا في مخيم جنين وفي جنين مش عايشين زي ما عايشين باقي الدول مثل امريكا واسرائيل.
We Jenin, she give you message that we not live a good life as Europe people or Israeli people.
لا نو بلديات بلديات مخيم جنين بنوا لنا الملاهي اللي هي هسه هي حاليا في مخيم جنين عشان احنا ننسى الاسى اللي حدث معنا في الاجتياح. بس احنا مش رح ننسى كل ما تتحرك مرجيحه او اي لعبه بترجع مشاعرنا لورا.
Ahlam, she say, they are building for us some places to be funny, to playing. And when we playing, we feel bad. We not forget what we see. These games to forget what we see in the camp. But really, we are not forget what we see.
الشباب اللي في مخيم جنين راح يضلهم يقاتلوا ويقاتلوا حتى ترجع لنا أراضينا بإذن الله.
Yes, people in the camp, they will be fighter and they will protect our camp and to return our land, as she said.
أغنية.
Song.
Okay.
Some song.
Okay.
أمسك الميكروفون. عملنا حركات احنا مش ارهابية احنا شعب الحرية اسلام ومسيحية امتنا عربية ضربونا بصواريخ ضربناهم بحجارة سرقوا الاقصى والتاريخ صلبوا طفل المغارة صهيوني ظالم كذاب ما بيؤمن حتى في كتاب هو أساس الإرهاب عدو البشرية هو أساس الإرهاب عدو البشرية. شكرا.
After speaking to Ahlam, I wanted to talk to people who worked with kids in Jenin. And as it seemed to be a more and more reasonable question to ask, I wanted to try and understand the relationship between the kids and the resistance. So I sought out the Children's Theater, which recently reopened in 2005. It was started in 1993 by Arna Mercamus, a Jewish-Israeli peace activist, after she won the Alternative Nobel Prize for her work in Jenin. She used the $50,000 she received to build a children's theater, seating over 200 people in the refugee camp. Arna died in 1995, but the theater continued to run until 2002, when it was destroyed along with most of the camp itself during Operation Defensive Shield. In 2005, local community leaders partnered with staff of the Child Rehabilitation Center in the camp to start the theater up again. Giuliano Mercamus, Arna's son, left a successful career in theater in Israel to work on the project, now called Freedom Theater, as its director, and currently runs speech therapy workshops and various other therapeutic drama programs. They don't have a new theater yet, but according to Giuliano, they will. I spoke with him in his car as we were leaving Haifa.
Okay, I've started the Freedom Theater, which is not only me, I have another partner, Jonathan Stanzak. He's a Swedish guy. We started this from one basic reason, which is to fight the Israeli occupation and to reduce its damage on the population, specifically in Jenin, and to, in a way, to join the Palestinian Intifada in its struggle for liberation. Why kids? I think kids are the most oppressed sector of the society under occupation. They suffer not only from the Israeli army, they also suffer from a very primitive educational system, from the hierarchy, from a patriarchal hierarchy, from restrictions of religion and customs of this society. So they are the ultimate victim. And of course, they are the future generation which going to lead this liberation movement or any kind of entity in the future. And this is why I think it's very important to concentrate on those ages, especially in this intifada. If you can compare these children to the children in the first intifada in 88, you find that the children of 88 were different. They had a role. They were the leaders of the intifada. Them and their stones were the tools of resistance in the stone intifada between 88 and 95 till the Oslo agreements. They had the media attention. They were in the center of society. They also could be a help in financial things in their homes. They replaced their fathers who were jailed during the intifada. They could sell tomatoes, they could sell sabres and get some money home, be effective in the economical situation. The kids of today has no role whatsoever. They cannot participate the resistance because it's armed on one hand, and on the other hand it's have this suicide attacks which kids cannot participate. They have no role because there's no economy, so they cannot take part in a way helping the families in which fathers or sons, the oldest one, are in jail or has been killed. So anyway, you can say those children of today are a burden on the families. And the only role they have is they become a boxing sack of the frustration of their fathers, mothers, brothers, the teachers. They're abandoned from all aspects. And in the situation that the Israeli army succeeded to create, and I mean the total destruction of any kind of cultural life or any kind of educational system, the children are thrown on the street doing nothing, has no meaning, no perspective, no future, no childhood.
So how do they respond to theater as an activity, as an idea? How do they respond to theater?
When we announced about the opening of the Freedom Theater, we called the children to come to participate and to watch shows. We were very worried that we're not going to have 200 children to fill the place. What happened half an hour before the beginning of the show, we had about 1,500 people trying to get in to the theater from the air-conditioned tunnels, from the windows. Doors were busting in, broken down. It got to a very dangerous situation. I was so thirsty. Well, last time they saw the show, it was on TV a few months ago. They never practiced this kind of relationship between stage and audience. They never saw clowns. It was so new, and they're so thirsty for any kind of entertainment or knowledge or art or whatever, that they forced themselves inside, and we had to call Katab al-Aqsa brigades to get those children out, because it got very dangerous for them. They were crashing each other. And then we just started to make shows for 200 with a lot of guards around. And today, you know, when we decided to issue tickets so we can control the numbers who's coming. So the kids started to copy it and to spread it around, because everybody wants to see everything, and they wanted to see the same show 5, 6, 7 times. Though we tried to bring different audience for every show, but we could not. People, the children did not want to leave the audience for the next show for the other groups. So we are talking about a desert of culture. Wherever you pour water, something grows. And this is what we are trying to do. Just pour water.
What is it like actually working with these kids? I mean, what kind of attitudes and behaviors or maybe even obstacles do you encounter?
Well, I can divide this question in two parts, or I can divide the children in two parts more correctly. There is the girls and there is the boys. And the girls in the camp are something very different in their behavior and their abilities and their attitudes. And this is why. Due to the Islamic tendencies and the whole religion thing that is happening in the camps in Palestine, the girls has a lot of restrictions. They cannot leave their homes after school. They cannot really practice social relationships with kids outside the neighborhood. They cannot walk freely on the street. They have to come back from the schools back straight, sit in the house. So in a way, they are forced to motivate themselves, to make themselves make things. So they, you know, they read, they send SMS, and this way they study English, they watch a lot of TV, they hear radio. So in a way you can say they are filling themselves with knowledge and creative things, because they are forced to. The boys, on the other hand, they are on the streets all day. And what can you do on the streets except running like an idiot and play guns and throw stones and just move around and hang on and do nothing? So they don't really get nothing. They're just spreading out energy. And this energy become very violent once you get bored, and it's all about control and who's going to lead and who's going to throw the stone farther and blah, 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 all this. So you have two groups, same ages, very intelligent, very creative, very emotional. And the other group is the boys, which is very violent. And I try to mix between them as a principle, to have groups of boys and girls, which is something I think very important in these ages, and it's very important in general. So in a way you can say there's two different generations, the boys and the girls. The girls are going to be chopped at the age of 16, they're going to marry and go to the kitchen. The boys at the age of 15, they're going to be forced to pick up arms or to go to slavery in Israel.
Are those the only futures that you see for people?
In Palestine, I see even worse. Palestinian people are going to be cut into fragments, which is already has been done. They're going to be surrounded by walls and fences, electric ones, with tanks around, and a lot of missiles from Apaches, like happening in Gaza. They're going to be massacres in the future because people not going to sit quiet. They're going to march to the fence and try to break down the checkpoints. So, and the Israelis will be forced to shoot. I see no future. I see no hope. I see no even bits of light in the coming, I believe, 3, 4, 5 years. What I see is a bloodshed of suicide bombers and massacres like happening in Gaza, and much worse.
So why do you do the Freedom Theater?
Well, it's a hard question. There's two ways to deal with this conflict. Either you surrender or you struggle. Struggling is not something that you can discuss upon the results or make speculation how it's going to come out. You just struggle, because if you don't struggle, you surrender. And I think the Palestinians, one of the main phenomena, they're still struggling and not surrendering. And I want to be part of this struggle in my tools. Their struggle is my struggle. I'm not a good person who's going to help the poor Arabs or the poor kids. I'm joining them hand by hand, because Zionism is also my enemy. My dream is to live together, Arab Jews, in one big, free, democratic country. And Zionism is exactly the opposite. Zionism is all about ghettoing people into walls, is about separation, is about ethnic racism. So it's not only the Zionism is not enemy for the Palestinians. Zionism is enemy of every person who believe in equality, justice, and freedom. So if I had friends in Tel Aviv or in Hedera, which is an Israeli town, I would go do theater there. But lucky me, I have friends in Jenin who fighting the same struggle I'm fighting. So we join together. Very special kids in the camps, very special.
So for the kids, what do you think is the most damaging part of this occupation, of being a kid on the streets in Jenin? What is it? Is it the fear, or is it the whole, I don't know, what is it that is the most damaging part of growing up, say, in Jenin?
I can answer in two ways. First, in general, which is something you can refer to any kid anywhere under this kind of circumstances, which is they suffer from post-traumatic stress syndromes, which means fear, speech problems. They pee in the pants, they're violent, they have a lot of tics, they cannot create the normal sentence, no concentration, their creativeness is very low. So this is general symptoms for any kind of kids under any kind of occupation circumstances. What happened in Jenin or in Palestine, which doesn't happen elsewhere, is also the culture of death, which is growing. And what is culture of death? Because of the imbalance between powers between the Israelis and the Palestinians, the main tool of the Palestinians against the Israelis, or the main tool which they confront the Israelis with, is their ability to die. Now, this is a very dangerous thing, because build a resistance on the ability to die creates a very hopeless perspectives. A kid who grows in the camp, and kids always look for heroes to imitate or to identify with, so they grow on a legend of death, and their desires becomes very distorted. the desire is to die. Once a kid grows with desires to dies, to die, he is already dead. Because desire to die doesn't motivate you to do, to create for society, to build. It forces you, this motivation to die forces you to deal only with death, to be ready, to be able to confront it, to think about it, to talk about it, to read about it. So we have a whole generation who wants to be shaheeds. Not because they are incited or because they are brainwashed. No, no, no. This is the Western interpretation. Because they know that if they want to resist the occupation, they will face death. And this imbalance between the Israelis and Palestinians, everyone who resists the occupation will die. And either his suicide inside Israel or either his suicide outside Israel, any kind of resistance. Today, the name of the game in this region is, as long as a Palestinian puts a gun on his neck, hangs a gun, it doesn't matter what he, even if this gun doesn't shoot, the Israelis have the okay to kill him. This is the consensus in Israel. This is the consensus in the world. They call it militants. Armed people were killed. Once you are armed, you are a terrorist. When you're a terrorist, there is an okay to kill you. So anyway, we can say that those kids are growing and preparing themselves to be buried.
It seems like the kids are a real manifestation of the resistance, especially in Jenin, for some reason. Do you find this to be true at all? That the kids are kind of this strange manifestation of the resistance in small form, in the way they act, in the way they think, in the way they survive?
Yes, I think you are very right. I think they are the reflection, and kids are always the reflection of the eldest people or of the society. They are the mirror. And yes, I think your analyzation is precise. They are the reflection, and this is the tragedy. And one of the reasons the Freedom Theater is there is because we are trying to generate or encourage other kind of tendencies or other kind of currents which are growing now in Palestine. We believe that we can resist through art. We believe that the real resistance must be moral, with values. And with the help of the Israelis, the Palestinian nation lost its, I think, its ability to resist in those terms, and we have to bring it back. And now I'm talking as a Palestinian. I don't think this is an alternative to armed struggle. I do believe in guerrilla fighting. I don't think the pen and the camera and the stage can replace the gun. I think they can. They are both legitimate tools against occupation. But I think it was too much concentrated on guns. But guns has no value against Apaches and tanks. Guns has value when they shoot at the right targets, and this can be only where those fighters or where those guns are backed with knowledge, with culture, with discourse, with free discourse, with theater, with music, with revolutionary songs, as we saw in different places in the world. But and Israel knows that, and Israel is working very hard to eliminate any kind of different resistance, destroying networks, computers, libraries, has one purpose, to push those people into guns and to the mosques, because it's very easy to fight this kind of enemy, and it's very easy to represent it in the world as a just cause for the Israelis, and the Israelis suddenly become the victims in this case. And that's why I think the culture resistance or the struggle for culture, for basic human elements of life, are very important today.
To find out more about the Freedom Theater, you can visit their website at www.thefreedomtheater.org. From Jenin Refugee Camp in the West Bank, I'm Seth Porcello with the IMEMC.org.